Should the current law regulating Native American nicknames in Wisconsin public schools be changed? There's a bill that would make it harder to force a school to drop or change a nickname or logo that will be voted on today in the state assembly. And we will have two guests with us during this hour explaining why it should or should not be passed. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 15th. Our first guest says the current law prevents communities from defending themselves and should be changed. Our guest after 7:30 says the proposal is racist and that Indian-based nicknames harm Native students. So how do you want your state representative to vote on this bill that comes up for a vote in the state assembly today? Should someone who objects to a nickname have to collect enough signatures to represent 10% of a school district's students to trigger a review of a nickname or a mascot? That would lead to a final decision on dropping the name or not by the State Department of Administration under the new proposal. Right now, under current law, if one person complains, the school must prove that the nickname does not promote discrimination, and then the Department of Public Instruction makes the final call. Let us know what you think, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first guest is Kevin Benversi, a freelance writer and blogger. He used to work for the Heritage Foundation, and he served in President George W. Bush's administration and worked on several state Republican campaigns. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Joy.
Kevin's also with us from time to time on the Weekend Review and other programs. So why do you think that the current law needs to be changed? What's wrong with the current law?
Well, the current law, in my mind, sets up kind of a kangaroo court with the State Department of Public Instruction, DPI, which pretty much has stated it wants all Native American mascots gone. It gives very little ability for a community to defend itself. And also, we've had, four complaints, maybe more, I think four is the current complaints, at least last time I checked, did my research. On this topic, and of those four, two have changed, one on their own, which was Kewaunee, and then the other two, which are fighting, which are Miguanago and Berlin. And the one that changed outright was Osseo, but it took them about, I think, 2-3 years before they finally settled on a nickname, which is now the Thunder. They were the Chieftains. So the reality being is that this also adds an immense cost, which probably never would have had to occur with, school districts in terms of having to change all sorts of associated letterhead, paint, like gyms and other materials in terms of things that are going. And also it causes, an unnecessary conflict inside the community itself around something which is supposed to be meant to unite the community. Nobody in their right mind really believes a mascot is meant to be a divisive symbol.
Yeah, but if some in the community believe it is racist, it is hurtful, why should a school district keep such a nickname or logo?
Well, this is often a tough issue for me personally because my school district. Well, I grew up in Keele, which has long always been the Raiders, but up until I think the early '90s, we changed our logo. We were kind of this cartoonish Native American Indian holding a tomahawk, and then either due to fear of litigation or because we had rampant attempts to change logos across the state and nation. I mean, it was around the same time Marquette changed from Warriors to Golden Eagles, even though no one actually knew why at the time, it caused undue strife in my community. We still, 20 years later, are still fighting amongst ourselves over what should be the right logo. I mean, you have people who are like, change it back. No one ever wanted to change it except 7 people on the school board, and 5 of them lost their reelection the next time, and all these other things. And then, on the other hand, I'm close family friends with Sean McNulty, the Miguanago School District Superintendent, and I'm also close personal friends with the couple that started the complaint in Osseo through a college connection. So it's very, I'm all over the place on this.
Well, under the bill that the assembly will vote on today, 10% of the school district students have to sign on in order to trigger a review. And then the Department of Administration, not the Department of Public Instruction, makes the final call. Is this the way to go?
Well, no one seems to complain that you need 25% to trigger a recall. So it's kind of under those kind of rules. And moving it to, from DOA to DPI kind of takes away the kangaroo court. I mean, DPI is open. It is open policy. It has been open policy at least for the last two state superintendents. Excuse me. That, you know, they want to get rid of Native American mascots, no matter what it is. If it's Indians, Chiefs, Blackhawks, Braves, whatever. So there is kind of this move, and it's an understandable move considering you know, there should be a presumption of innocence before guilt on this thing. I mean, obviously what's triggered a lot of this discussion beyond the Wisconsin mascot law has obviously been the recent national discussion over Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. If you were forming that franchise today, would you pick that nickname? No. But the irony of that is you have a community which loves that team, loves that nickname, loves everything that's associated with that nickname. It was strange watching on Facebook on Sunday night after Bob Costas having his halftime commentary, then having friends who I know are very, you know, connected to Democratic campaign consultants out in Washington, D.C., going, well, if we change the name, can we at least keep the song, as in Hail to the Redskins, because they love all the things that are associated with. They love singing that song after touchdowns. They love things such as the Warpath March. If you know anything about Washington, D.C. Redskin football and how they celebrate out there, which is pretty much nothing more than a kind of, you know, march around a bar after a touchdown. But they, and it's going, you know, do we have to give all that up? And you're causing a lot of undue strife, and just it's crazy.
Yeah, but and briefly, we'll come back after a break. I need to ask if, you know, just because mainly a bunch of white people like to do the dance and the cheer and enjoy the Native American mascot or logo, why is that reason enough to keep something that that Indian groups, including our next guest, the Wisconsin Indian Education Association, is against these mascots, saying they hurt Native students, that they are a racial slur in many cases, and really have no place. If the majority whites think it's fine, but the American Indians don't think it's fine, why would the majority, you think the majority should rule?
Well, this is America, so in essence, that's traditionally has always happened. The case of the way the current law is set up has been a case of the tyranny of the minority, in which literally, like you said, you've only needed one person, and there's always been questions of if that person is even supposed to be able to live in the community or not, because it was a very hardline law when it was structured, and there were attempts to amend it, to moderate it, to go, wait a minute, can we actually have, you know, referendums inside these communities so that you're not having these big giant fights and these big giant legal costs? Because I understand the concerns about, oh my God, it's racist and things like that. But, you know, you're also going to have people who are going to toss out that Annenberg survey every single time and say 90-some percent of Native Americans have no issue with it. And, you know, and then all these other things, which, you know, who knows? So, I mean, I understand the other side, and I truly do, but I also am saying that, you know, truthfully, and this may be my own personal, you know, experience going with my own high school and what happened there coming into play, I've often thought it should have been, you know, citywide referendums or other things. So at least you were doing it as a community. Kewaunee and other cities that did change it, Kewaunee, if I recall, became the Storm. Did it right. They literally went to the student body and said, okay, if we're going to have to change this, what do you want to change? And they came together as a community and picked a new name.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Kevin Benvrusi. He's a freelance writer. He used to work for the Heritage Foundation. He is talking with us about this bill that the State Assembly is expected to vote on today that would make it harder to force public schools to drop Native American nicknames. We will get a different perspective on this bill coming up in our next half hour, but we have callers waiting, so let's go to Will in Madison. Hello, Will. What do you think?
Hi, good morning. I have an analogy connected to this so that other folks can think about this slightly differently. This has to do with the workplace. So if you had a group of men in the workplace who were very comfortable with using the sexist term, the B word, to describe women, and then 10% of these men who are comfortable with using the B word were asked, well, what do you think about using the B word in the workplace? Should we keep using the B word or not? Or what are your thoughts on that? And then let's have a vote on it by an outside group that really has nothing to do with this. My thoughts on this is that this isn't including the women at all who are on the receiving end of such sexist rhetoric. This is not including the First Nations, the Native Americans, here in Wisconsin, in on this conversation, that are on the receiving end of a hostile educational environment.
Yeah, so there's an analogy for you, Kevin. Why would we want to do something like that?
A little bit of a hyperbole there, but I understand all sides of this issue. I'm just often saying that it should have been, in the case of many of these communities, done more instead of kind of, you know, in using the strong hand of government to force action on here. You know, could have many of these groups who are opposed to these nicknames gone into these communities, talked to people ahead of time instead of going to the point where literally it feels like for many of these communities, they have, you know, both a, you know, rhetorical and financial gun pointed at their heads. I mean, what is it, $1,000 a day? Which last I checked, not many school boards and school districts have sitting in their coffers if they keep the nickname of just Indians, just generic Indians. We're not talking about, you know, I will give you words, you know, such as Redskins. I've deemed, you know, yes, I do deem a slur, and it's up to the people of Washington, in my opinion, to deal with that nickname. That's always been, you know, if, you know, that's my main point is I'm not a fan of having someone go running to the government and saying, you know, I'm oppressed. When, you know, yes, you know, you could say a whole bunch of people are being racist and whatnot, but, you know, that was their choice how many years ago? If they want to, you know, enlighten themselves now in the 21st century, that's their choice and let them do it. Don't do it by the strong hand of government, because all it's going to do is irk people and make them mad.
Yeah, we have just have a minute left, but in one case, at least one case in Wisconsin, a school district was said, change your nickname, and it's fighting it, saying no.
Yeah, and that's McGuanico. And they actually, I believe, they went to court, and they won in court in 2011, which is why people are wondering maybe this law is too heavy-handed, and that's also an opinion I have, because I've thought, you know, the whole you need only one complaint, you know, immediately kind of go, are we actually doing a scenario in which are we judging people over presumed guilt, presumed innocence, or just because you have an agenda, which, you know, nothing against, you know, just reality. The UNITA, you know, now are very, you know, heavy-handed with money from gambling in casinos.
Well, we can't go into that. I'm sorry. Kevin, thank you very much for being with us. Kevin Benvrusi. We'll get another perspective on this bill after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. The State Assembly will vote on a bill today that would make it harder to force Wisconsin schools to drop Native American nicknames. We just heard from a guest in our last half hour who supports this bill. Now we will hear from a guest who does not. And we will continue to take your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 737 on this Tuesday, October 15th. Our next guest is Barbara Munson, chairperson of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association's Indian Mascot and Logo Task Force. She's a member of the Oneida Nation of Wisconsin. She is in our Madison studios today. You came down, Barbara Munson, for this vote today at the State Assembly.
Yes, I did. And I found out yesterday that the Senate committee had also voted the bill to the floor, and there will be a floor vote in the Senate as well today. So the bill will be voted on by both the Assembly and the Senate today.
So why do you hope that our state legislature votes this bill down?
Because right now, the state of Wisconsin is in the forefront on this civil rights issue. We are the first state to really create a pathway for changing Indian mascots and logos through legislation, through a long, lengthy legislative effort. And we are now being... Other states are looking at what we have done and trying to adapt a method in their states, such as Oregon and Washington State as well. We are right now leaders in an education civil rights issue, and this legislation would put us at the back of the bus.
Let's repeat what this bill would do. Currently, the State Department of Public Instruction holds a hearing on a school's race-based nickname if it receives a complaint from even one person. The school then, at a hearing, needs to prove a nickname does not promote discrimination, and then it's up to the DPI to decide whether that nickname can stay or if it must go. This bill that's going to be voted on today changes that. It would require anyone who objects to a nickname or a mascot to collect signatures that equal 10% of a school district students to trigger a review. And then instead of the DPI deciding, the Department of Administration would decide. What's wrong with the tweaks that the legislature has put on this bill?
Well, asking a complainant in a civil rights case to collect signatures in support of their complaint is really unheard of in any discrimination law that we know of. You certainly don't. I think one of your callers in talked about what would happen if it were sexual assault or sexual abuse in a workplace, and certainly the same thing holds for all civil rights matters.
Why are Native American nicknames, mascots, logos offensive? Why should they be changed?
The issue is not whether or not they are offensive. The issue is that they are discriminatory, that they cause harm to American Indian children. And we know that. We know it because of a huge body of research that has started up specifically about the use of race-based stereotypes of Indian people since 2002, when Dr. Stephanie Freiberg created her dissertation and defended it at the university, at Stanford University.
We hear also from callers, and we have some emails, it's an honor. The community is trying to honor Native Americans with these nicknames. What's your response to that?
Native people have different ways of honoring, being honored, and seeing themselves as and honoring them, one another. A depiction of a Plains Indian warrior in feathered headdress is not one of those ways. We honor our elders by serving them first, by having them be in line first and having them come to our meetings and share in our communities. We honor people by offering, by giving them sometimes a feather for the hard work that they're doing and for the continuance of that work. We honor our people in many ways. We do not honor them by depicting them as a symbol for another culture's sports game.
Yeah. Now, Kevin Benversi did bring up, think he brought up an Annenberg poll that said that the vast majority of Native Americans polled say they don't have an issue with the logo or nickname topic.
The Annenberg poll that he's talking about is has been really discredited and has little meaning in terms of it is certainly not peer-reviewed research. It was done in the D.C. area. People could self-identify. And the D.C. area, of course, is the place where people are wanting are comfortable with the R word for their team name. And a lot of people want to keep that team name. So when that poll came out, it really reflected the popular vote of the area.
Mm-hmm. But even if some Native Americans are not offended by a Native American nickname, you're saying that the individual being offended or isn't the issue?
Well, in some ways it is the issue, and here's why. One of the findings of the Freiberg research was that American Indian people who supported the use of Indian mascots and logos experienced more harm, more psychological harm, than American Indian people who opposed their use. So American Indian people who are comfortable with this perhaps have not looked deeply at the research or have not fully understood that they're being colonized and that their attitude is does not come from the deep roots of their culture, but from trying to please another culture.
Yeah. What if a school district doesn't have any American Indian students?
It's still harming other students. Part of the research is by Dr. Chu Kim Prieto. Chu Kim Prieto found that exposure to American Indian stereotypes increases the tendency of a European American person to stereotype other minority groups. In other words, exposure to stereotyping causes further stereotyping of other minority groups. 24% of the students in our K-12s here in Wisconsin are minority students. We also know that it harms mainstream students. Even though they may experience a boost to their self-esteem, it's for no really good purpose. When you think about it, we're doing a disservice to all our students if we teach them to tolerate race-based stereotyping at a time when we have global markets and we're needing to break down those walls of stereotype and learn how to work together with people of all different races and nations.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Barbara Munson. She is the chairperson of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association's Indian Mascot and Logo Task Force. We are talking with her about a bill that's coming before the State Senate and the State Assembly today. They're expected to vote on this bill that would make it harder to force public schools to drop Native American nicknames. We have just a 5 or so more minutes with Barbara Munson. If you have a question or a view on this, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have a caller who did not hang on, who wants to say, why are we limiting this discussion to Native American mascots? What about the Viking? That's Norwegian. What's the difference, Barbara Munson?
Vikings is really, first of all, an occupation. We are talking about race-based stereotyping in the public schools. Actually, the roots of what we're doing go back to an alliance between the Department of Public Instruction and Wisconsin tribes and tribal educators to try to improve the education about Wisconsin Indian tribes after the spearfishing controversy that took place in the mid to late 80s. As a result of that, educators throughout the state have been required to teach accurate and authentic information about Wisconsin Indian tribes and bands. Four state superintendents of public instruction have encouraged school districts to change. We've worked, Native people have worked in alliance with the state legislature, with our partners in two joint committees. First, the American Indian Studies Committee to help create curriculum and also to deal with the mascot issue. And then with the State Tribal Relations Committee, which has assisted us in creating this legislation and worked towards it through six legislative sessions. The law that we have that is in place is good education policy. It also is a collaboration of the state with the tribes through legislative processes as well as through the Department of Public Instruction over a period of 20 years.
Yeah. Now, for those who may not remember it, you say this all kind of started with the spearfishing controversy. That was it was particularly ugly, wasn't it?
It was indeed. And it really called on Indian educators to do something so that people would not be engaging in stereotyping. The stereotyping and discrimination that took place on the boat landings is partly, largely, because people really didn't understand the nature of tribal sovereignty and the history of Wisconsin Indian people in the state.
Yeah, and if a school district just says we are this school Indians, does that stereotype Native people?
That's probably the worst stereotype of all, because when you say Indians, you're taking 565 different tribes and bands of people that are federally recognized as having a relationship with the federal government, American Indian tribes and bands, 565 of them, and lumping them into a single image, into a single concept. And that is very problematic.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Carl in Madison. Hi, Carl.
Yes, hello. I'd first like to commend the speaker on her ability to maintain a high level of decorum and speak from research and talk very civilly about this issue, which certainly must be an emotional one. I'd like to speak on behalf of European Americans such as myself who find it, you know, like we can just grab a hold of another culture's iconography, stereotype it, try and make it our own, and then turn around and claim that somehow we're respecting another group of people. If you're the bully in a situation, you don't ask the bully if this is bullying. You ask the victim. And anybody who feels that they're being discriminated against or feels that this is offensive, their voices need to be heard. So I hope other people such as myself will respect the rights of those who are perceiving this as discrimination and listen with both ears open. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Well, you're not going to debate him on that, are you, Barbara Wilmanson?
I would ask those people who understand to do even more. I would ask them to let the governor know that, to let the legislature know that, to come to the hearing today in support of retaining Act 250, which has been so hard educated for in this state. And to realize that some of the school districts that are holding on to race-based stereotypes are doing it because they really think that they're playing a game of capture the flag, when what really is at stake is what we teach our children about how to respect one another.
Yeah. Why do you think there is this bill to change things? What's your message to the state legislature for changing something that's been on the books for so long?
Some of us call it the McQuanago bill. Back in 1994, McQuanago had a discrimination complaint filed, and they did have to eliminate at that point a middle school mascot. Another result of that was that because of the pressures from the community, an educator who had lived there for 17 years and had her, a Native American woman, her family was forced out of the community. The community had to do a corrective action plan with the Department of Public Instruction, and they may have fulfilled their corrective action plan, but they didn't grow beyond that. And somehow or another, folks have felt that because they did that, they don't have to do any more. But we always have to continue to learn and grow. In 2005, the American Psychological Association, the American Sociological Association, learned from the Freiburg research and asked all school districts throughout across the nation to eliminate Indian mascots and logos.
Are you hopeful that that the legislature is going to leave things as they are?
I am always hopeful that the good hearts of people will rise to a higher level.
We need to leave it there. Thank you very much for coming in. Barbara Munson, chairperson of the Wisconsin Indian Education Association's Indian Mascot and Logo Task Force. She's a member of the United Nation of Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.